I'm Christian Abbott.
I'm Nathan Lavender.
I'm Sean Abbott.
And this is the Red Mist Podcast. Hello, welcome to the Red Mist Podcast, Season 3, Episode 22. The 1983 Buick Regal, number 22, with Bobby Allinson, sponsored by Miller High Life. Took him to the championship that year. So, again, we stay in the past. I don't want to acknowledge number 22 now. Anyways, on tonight's episode, we'll discuss a rather short weekend of racing. IndyCar and the Yellow Flag Detroit Grand Prix. IMSA, slightly less Yellow Flag Grand Prix.
I was going to say, is there any difference on that one?
Yep. And then we have the 9 hours of the Nürburgring.
Yeah.
15 hours of no racing because of fog. Makes sense. Safety. I would agree on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate, but...
It's unfortunate, but...
they've made a hard stance on
driving it, so. At night in the fog at the Nürburgring. No fun.
Yeah.
Anyways, we'll have some news and notes, some driver moves, and then we'll have our predictions for an upcoming weekend. We're into a hot and heavy... race thing going on, because we have IndyCar Road America this weekend. We got F1 at Canada, Montreal,
to be more specific.
Following weekend, do we have a IndyCar? Is Le Mans test weekend this weekend? Wow! And then next weekend, two weeks away is Le Mans.
Yeah, not this weekend, next weekend.
No. And then we have another Grand Prix, and then the end of the month, we have the 24 hours of Spa.
Don't forget the 6 hours of the Glen.
And the 6 hours of Watkins Glen. It's going to get hot and heavy here, people.
Well, so the... Actually, that...
Oh, an IndyCar... Doesn't IndyCar go to Mid-Ohio? NASCAR's on the road course this weekend. Oh, yeah.
No, IndyCar goes to Laguna.
We can talk NASCAR real quick, too. They were at Gateway.
Yeah, the big boys were at Gateway.
The big boys were at Gateway. We'll get into that real quick. We did have a surprise winner, which was cool.
Yeah.
So, anyways. All right. But first, starting with, every week it seems to be some sad news.
Mm-hmm.
Just as we started this podcast, news broke that Rufus Parnelli Jones, age 90, passed away. Yeah. One word to describe Rufus, or as he was known, Parnelli, badass. Won the Indy 500 once as a driver, won the Indy 500 twice, back-to-back as a car owner with Al Unser. And the classic Johnny Lightning specials.
Mm-hmm.
I had those little models when I was a kid. Also won the Baja 1000 in a Cheetah Bronco. It looked like a Bronco, but it wasn't a Bronco.
Mm-hmm.
That was back in the day. And then I was fortunate to see him in the Trans Am series, both at Lime Rock and Briar, in the Budmore Mustangs. Oof.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was men were men. Anyways, so, and then Parnelli's son, PJ, had a decent career. Especially in GTP prototypes with Dan Gurney's All-American races in the Toyota Eagles. PJ set the track records at both Daytona on the ultra-fast chicane. It was kind of like a little breathe and go. chicane out back. And at Lime Rock, he held the, up until I can't even, like recently, he held the all-time lap record there. It was like 40 seconds.
Yeah.
It's insane. In a GTP car. Mm-hmm. In the uphill.
The old up, well, the uphill. The original uphill.
The uphill. Yeah. Not the chicane.
Not the chicane.
They did use it. They did run it 1 year with them, but.
Ugh. Yeah.
God. Anyways. So, Godspeed, Parnelli. Oh, that's a bummer. Kind of just leaves Mario and AJ from that era.
Don't.
I know.
Stop.
It's just a bummer.
Stop that.
I know.
You're going to cause something. We don't want that.
We don't want that. All right. Let's start with NASCAR. Congratulations to Austin Cindric. He did not use push to pass. He used a lot of good strategy and came out with the win and locked himself into the championship. I saw the highlights, but I kind of shut it off right away after the Austin crossed the flag. I didn't realize what came next. I mean, Nate must be in his glory.
Oh, yeah.
Denny and then Brad. Oh, yeah. Nate's probably just over the moon. And then my guy, Tyler Reddick, finished fourth. Then Logano, and even worse, Austin Dillon. Oh, my God. Carson Hocevar with a nice race, finishing eighth. Justin Haley finished ninth. And Mr. Controversy, I have no idea why. Kyle Larson finished 10th after getting caught up in somebody's mess. Anyways, we'll get to Larson in a minute. And that fiasco, that'll be in our news and notes section. So, that was exciting. Do we want to go through the standings?
Not really.
Briefly?
Not really.
Well, Danny leads. He's locked in. Okay. Kyle's locked in. But he almost wasn't locked in. Kyle was locked in, but he would have had 0 points. Anyways, but look at this. This is interesting. We got Chase Elliott, although he's locked in. Truex still leads the non-locked in guys.
Okay.
So, then we got William Byron, Tyler Reddick. The next guy without a win is Ty Gibbs, followed by Bell Keselowski. Alex Bowman.
Yeah, but doesn't Keselowski have a win?
He does.
Yeah.
He does. So that's our top 10. All right. So we'll get back to that.
Mm-hmm.
Where shall we go next? IndyCar?
No. Portland.
Portland.
Stay in NASCAR.
Yep. Now achieving his first win in another NASCAR series. Congrats to Shane Van Gisbergen, who mopped the field at Portland. That was awesome. I saw some highlights of it, but Christian saw more of the race than I did. So
no, I just watched the highlights.
But apparently Shane just put on a driving clinic.
All right, he did not. He had to work for it. It was not given to him because whoever was commentating the race, they made a point when I was watching the highlights of it. He said it was. The way, because of the stage cautions, like, he's fallen out of place a couple times. Okay, so he got burned on, like, the first restart or two. But watching him work his way back through and then get himself into the position that he was at the end of the race, it was nice to watch. But, I mean, you can say it was strategy, but it really wasn't to some extent because it's still stages. Like, you just get a big restart and you go. Because then there were cautions at the end of the race that he still had to navigate. Like, he wasn't in the lead until like the final 10 laps or something like that. And he had to defend it once.
He put on some moves.
He put on good moves. He was able to rough a couple. Well, I shouldn't say rough.
Rubbing. NASCAR.
He used the bumper efficiently and not taking out anyone. It was good. Hard clean racing,
used the chrome horn.
Yeah, in a great way though. Yeah. Like, it wasn't anything absurd, and it shouldn't be anything that these guys cry wouldn't about. Expect. Yeah, yeah, or cry about, right. Because he didn't dump anyone. He just moved
them. Yeah. Okay. All right. So,
but the biggest thing that I thought was impressive was watching the blimper drone shot that they had.
Yeah.
Over the first chicane.
Turn one.
Yeah, one and two there.
Yeah.
Because every time, if you watched him, not just on the restarts, but on every other lap following, he took such a tight line over that second turn there, that left-hander, and just once the car was straight, just right on the gas,
and no one else could do it.
Everyone else was trying to carry speed through the corner and went all the way out, and I think they were just sliding too much for too long.
Yeah.
But it was interesting to just watch that, because that was really the only, I think, big difference. Because, who was it at the end? I think it was Allgaier at the end. Was chasing him down. So, I mean, SVG wasn't the fastest one at the end of the race either. He did enough to, he got away a little bit, but then on the last couple laps, whoever was in second, I think it was Allgaier, was reeling him in a little bit. But the other cool shot that they had was of, they came around the back straight into that left right complex right before they take another right to go onto the front straight. And the camera, how they had that, you could just see them dipping the wheels and the car rolling from left to right, which was, I thought it was cool. But again, it's, everyone's got their own thing of what they like to watch. So, but yeah, other than that, did the victory lap in style and burn it to the ground. Not literally like some other guys have done it, but he put on a good smoke show.
Okay, well, this weekend we're off to Sonoma, and all three series will be there.
Man, Xfinity, two Xfinity, road courses back to back.
Wow, the trucks are there too.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't watch.
Shane is SVG is not running in the Cup race.
Just the Xfinity.
Yeah. However, I'm going to go to the truck race because I'm going to just double check that
for Gateway.
No.
For a Sonoma.
Oh, they're at. No, no, they were at. That was race result. I wanted. Oh, maybe they're not at. Hold on. Oh, no, they're not at. I'm trying to get the. Sorry. Just had this.
Oh, man.
Sonoma entry list. Yeah. Oh, here we go. Oh, no, the trucks aren't there. So SVG's running in Xfinity. So.
Yeah.
Anyways, the only... outlier in Cup is Boris will be back. Oh no, wait a minute. I think Boris is driving the next. You know what? He's the NASCAR. I love it. I love NASCAR. Nate, I love it. I love NASCAR, Nate. I have a bad feeling. I think Boris is running. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Oh, yeah, he's running the Xfinity race. Ugh. Well, I guess I'll watch the Xfinity race. It'll be down to Boris, Amendinger, and SVG. How's that? Oh, Kligerman's in it, too, so that's a possibility. He's a decent road racer. What?
This is for later.
Okay.
Sorry, just found something.
Okay. All right. IndyCar. first 2 days, Colton Herta dominated.
Yeah.
He was on it.
Yep.
Kirk was on it.
Jetty was doing good.
Yep. Yep. So that was it. Got to race day.
Okay, the only devil advocates point to the demo derby.
The demo derby.
On the streets of Detroit is that there was action.
There were good passes. Sure. There were some good passes.
There was like it,
but it was just the race was so interrupted.
Yeah, I just that's the one thing holding me back from saying it's a good race, because yeah, it's not. Like when you have, for the IndyCar race specifically, there was 47 of 100 laps run under caution.
Yeah, that 39% of the race.
47%
of the race. Oh, 47, sorry.
Like you have almost half the race.
39% of the IMSA race.
That's how much that was.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a little bit better, but not.
It's not.
Not that, really.
I applaud for wanting to have a race downtown, but that track is so, it's like a
no.
No.
I couldn't even say that the only good quality of that track, or I shouldn't say
even good. I can't even think of one
thing. No. Good's the wrong word. The only interesting quality of that track is the dual pit lane
setup
that they have. Yeah. So then when you need to serve a penalty or whatever, it's a very the pit lane is half the length in theory than that at that point.
Yeah.
So
but it's like
it makes it interesting from a pit stop and strategy point if you're going to do it that way.
Then on the starts, on the restarts, everything funnels down to turn one, and it's just a shit show. Pardon my French.
Yeah, it's not. It's too bumpy, and then when you have got like, not that these guys don't know when everything checks up, but like one lock up there is really detrimental.
Yeah.
And you can usually catch it a bunch of times. Yeah, it's just.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, and, you know, this guy's, you know, I don't know. It's just, I don't find it racing.
No, and then, because the other thing, too, is, like, after turn one and then the run to two, you can't really pass. And then when you do try and do it on the, where pit exit is, if you try and make a pass on that turn, you end up with a track blockage half the time. So, I don't know. It just doesn't
work. And coming off the high of Indianapolis and they go to that, it's just ugh.
Belle Isle was better because they've also run there forever, which is fine.
But they were passing places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus they had the whole thing of
there was jumping some, in the fountain. There was after some the unique race there too. Was some uniqueness to the track too. Some of the corners you come off, you go around a left hander, especially turn one, two.
Yeah.
Turn two, you go over and it's a little rise and it drops off. It's kind of cool, and then you got to get straightened out down the bottom there, and you know, it's a little, it's a, from you make three, it's kind of a, you know, it's a canyon right to four, and then it's like down the back straight, you know.
Yeah, it's definitely
there's just like spots
there is a point of Belle Isle where it is very single file, like I get it,
but the same can be said of Toronto too.
Yeah,
and the same can be said at Long Beach.
Yeah,
because when you get to the hairpin, that's single file all the way out until you get unwind yourself going down the front straight. That's just a mess there, the hairpin.
Yeah, but yeah.
Oh, and then it kind of, the only other gimmicky part is, I'm not a what they did down at turn one, the fountain section. I'm not a fan of that. It's just, that's a procession through there, and I don't like that.
Yeah.
I wish they could have done. There was, you know, in the old setup, there was a way around that, but whatever.
the only thing with Long Beach is that it's at some point it's wide enough.
Yeah,
and the track isn't it's not so bumpy where there is only one line essentially around the track.
So. You know. You know, once everything kind of gets, you know, as stuff got sorted out, you know, people started moving to the front, and that person was Scott Dixon. So, Colton made a dubious move. I don't know what that was all about.
I think he was going for the one move, but then
he got caught out.
I think he just caught himself out. That
kind of ended his day there.
Yeah.
Dixon with the win. Nice rebound for Marcus Ericsson, considering after what happened at Indy. Fantastic run by Marcus Armstrong. Chips like chip legs winners, so there we go. Kyle Kirkwood exactly where he was in the top five all weekend, so good on him. Rossi rebounded from a horrendous qualifying to finish fifth.
Yeah.
Will Power, that was kind of a Will Power day. Finished sixth.
Yep.
Pato, seventh. Rosenquist, eighth. Ferrucci, ninth. And then driver of the weekend, Teo Pourchaire.
Yeah. The great qualifying by him.
Yeah.
Overall, that shouldn't go unnoticed.
Top 10 finish. You know, hats off to Team McLaren, but you were outdone by Chip Ganassi Racing.
And really, the one driver you get outdone by is Dixon.
As for Team Penske, I'm going to just say comma. So,
yeah.
Anyways. Other than that, that's about it. I'm not going to get into the Juncos and McLaren stuff. All right. We're on to Road America this weekend. So, that's exciting.
For the XPEL.
Yeah. Let's kind of switch over to... Indy Next Series.
Did they run this weekend?
They did.
Oh.
I'm trying to find the results. Sorry. God, this website is...
I got him.
You got it?
Yeah.
Oh, hold on. I think I got him.
What do you want
to... I got it. Yep. Louis Foster with the win. Kyle Calais was... second, Callum Hedge. Third, Miles Rowe. Welcome back to the top five. He's been on a little bit of a cold streak there. Followed by Jacob Abel, Reese Gold, Salvador Alba Jr. I like that name. Josh Pearson, Jonathan Brown, and Michael D'Orlando. Didn't Nate run against Michael D'Orlando in karting?
Yeah, it sounds familiar. He's mentioned the name.
All right. So that's that.
So hi, Michael from Nate.
Hi, is our championship point leader is Jacob Abel, followed by Louis Foster and Nolan Siegel.
He had a doozy of a weekend.
Jesus, good for him. Anyways, so he's third. All right, let's move on to WeatherTech. Not much better here. All I'm going to really say is, there were two amazing passes. One was early in the race on lap one. Philippe Albuquerque starting, they started fourth, made a move around the outside and got himself to second. He went all the way around turn one on the outside, got himself positioned to take the next corner. I think is that two or is that three? The right-hander.
Look, I'm gonna call the hairpin turn one.
Yeah.
And then the right-hander
turn right-hand two. Turn
like,
two.
I know it's
so
probably
he set himself up nicely, put himself in there, and he wedged himself in. So good there. That was followed by another move later in the race. I believe it was by Matthew Jaminet. Was it? Who?
Around the outside. Yep. I guess similar kind of move.
Very good moves. Both very clean moves.
Another move is Ricky Taylor's.
For the lead.
For the lead.
That was a fantastic outbreaking maneuver. So good on Ricky and Felice for the win. It's been a while.
The only thing I'll give the IMSA race on the streets of Detroit is it was the right number of cars in each class.
It's just tough with the prototypes on there.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, like the prototypes passing the GTs, it made for some passing,
but there were
definitely
in the history of IMSA and stuff. When the prototypes are on street courses, it's outside of, I guess, Long Beach, it's never a good race. I can't even think of a decent one. Anyways, so the GTD race was more of a Lexus and Corvette deciding that they're going to hit each other and stuff, which kind of ruined the race for everybody there. But Rexy comes up with a second win. It's now got two gold teeth. It's going gangster. So congratulations to Seb Prio and Lawrence Heinrich. They were followed by Hawksworth and Barnicote, followed by Ross Gunn and Alex Riveros in the Aston Martin. Oh, congrats to Parker Thompson and Frankie for finishing fourth. A pro-am lineup finishing fourth in a pro-pro race. Jeez. Good job by both of them.
Actually, you know, if they didn't have as many cautions as they did,
yeah,
that race would have been really interesting from a strategy standpoint. Right. Because the prototypes weren't changing tires, so it was really just down to how fast can you get your driver change done.
Yeah. It's kind of old school. Kind of cool.
I thought it was fine. Yeah. But,
It's just you need a little bit more width.
Cautions killed the race.
Race, yeah.
That's all.
All right. Okay, they are off to... Are they off to Mid-Ohio next? Where are they off to?
IMSA?
Yeah.
The Glen.
Oh, the Glen. Oh, thank God. A real racetrack. Oh, that's going to be a chock full weekend. I think that's our first foray with the Ford Mustang Challenge Series, I believe.
Might be, yeah.
I think they're there and the Porsches are not. But everybody else is. The Lambos and the Mazdas are there too. Mm-hmm. So that's if you're in the area, get out and see it. We went last year. It was fantastic. Yeah. All right. So we'll catch up on that. Half these guys are going to be at Le Mans this weekend and next.
Hold on. Before we go too much further, we mentioned the Nürburgring 24 hours.
Yeah.
Assuming it went 24 hours, right? Yeah. I mean, technically the race, you know.
Audi won.
Yes, they did.
No factory support.
I did see a post of June you can classify as the 72 hours.
Yes.
Because there's the Nürburgring 24 hours.
Right.
Le Mans.
Yep.
And then the Spa 24.
Right.
Of those three races, there are 15 drivers competing in all three of them.
All three.
And
if you add the Glen in.
And then, yeah, I'm sure. And then if we put the Glen in, you can make that 78.
Yeah.
So, and I'm sure.
It's crazy.
It would dwindle down a little bit more, yeah. But again, yeah.
I know somebody was saying, Colin Brown should be put in the car at Road America because that 51 car is open.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he's got to be at Le Mans this weekend.
That's right. And then also, they just announced.
There's no exceptions on that. You have to be there.
They just announced.
Giotto.
Giotto, yeah.
I thought. It's too bad. Tristan Vaudier did a nice job.
Yeah,
so.
I was going to say. Vaudier.
Anyways. So, all right. So, and then IndyCar is. We're off to Road America. All right. Let's go to some news and notes outside of. The bummer news about Parnelli Jones. I'm really bummed about that. Mm-hmm. Man. All right, let's Checo. He's back for 2 years.
Yeah.
Exciting. Ocon.
He's off to Mercedes?
He's off somewhere. I don't know where, but he's off somewhere.
As of June 4th, I think he's off to Mercedes.
Okay. I have to think Max is going back to Red Bull. I can't see him going anywhere else.
I don't know why there was this talk.
Yeah.
About it.
I mean, his contract's up in 25, right? Or 26.
28.
Oh, 28. All right. I would.
And the clause. I would just, the clause I would just is go through this year. Not
I would just, yeah. I would just go this year and next year. See where you're at. The new engine comes out. If you don't like it, then move.
He can do whatever he wants.
You know, go to Le Mans and run.
Any of these guys can do whatever they want.
Breaking news today outside of Parnelli. Kyle Larson got a waiver. The amount of, vitriol against him, you know, from some of the drivers and then some of the media is, all this did was create more interest for both series.
Yeah.
Okay? And it just kind of puts, you know, it puts him in a light that he could be a talented IndyCar driver and he could be a talented, and he is a talented NASCAR driver. He's a talented race car driver, period.
Yeah.
Okay? And then in between this all week, he went out and won a high limits race. That's the best. It's like, what, NASCAR, they should have been, like you rightly pointed, there should have been no debate on this. It should have just been shut down the first day. It should have been, no, he gets a waiver and that's it. See you later.
Well, when I sent the message to our group, I thought it would have been, I think this should have been taken care of over
the winter. I 100% agree. It should have been taken care of before they even got to Indy. Yes.
So, because
I thought it was. Apparently it wasn't. And apparently some of the media is just, ugh.
I mean, look, like, I don't watch NASCAR all the time, yeah, and I don't know all the rules of it. But if your tagline is win and in,
yeah,
to the playoffs.
Right.
That was my question last year with SVG. Like, he won Chicago, so is he into the playoffs?
What I don't like about it, okay, so you win, you're in, okay? And then let's just say it comes down to, you know, repeat winners and stuff, and then the first guy in points gets in, all right? I don't, this thing of tagging points into it is just even more dumber. Let's just have everyone start clean.
Where?
In the playoffs. Because
now you're going down a rabbit hole that you're
trying.
Now you're trying to fix the system that you don't want, even want here in the first place.
Right, I don't want so it. It should never be there.
It's the same thing when we talk about like the sprint format in F1. Right. Like we're all like, oh, this, like, would make it better, but they, really we don't
was,
want any
if
of it.
If there was no playoffs, right, the only thing that would happen is Larson would have won one race less, okay, and he's sitting second in the points. As is right now, he's sitting second on the point. He technically missed that second race. He never got in the car.
Right.
It's just, once they went down giving the waivers for guys getting hurt and stuff, if you can't give a waiver for someone that's trying to benefit the sport, that's just weak you couldn't do that. So, and if you're in the media and you think it was wrong, you get your head out of your rear end, because that weekend he put so much. There was so much hype around that whole weekend because of him.
Yeah.
You know?
I was legitimately going to watch the NASCAR. Not watch the whole thing, but, you know.
There was no weather issues, no nothing. Yeah. There was a high probability I would have probably sat through the NASCAR race because.
Yeah.
He's always in contention.
He's in contention, and it would have been interesting to see how it would have played out.
So, I mean, I thought the Hendrick team handled it with class as usual, with a nice statement. Kyle Hine did it with class too on his Twitter, said it was awesome. And the rest of them, you guys can eat it. Anyways, let's move on to IndyCar. Luca Giotto, as we mentioned, will be running in the coin car. We'll see what Luca could do on a. He did all right. I mean, decent. So, you know.
More seat time will help.
Yeah. More seat time will help.
Blomqvist is out.
We talked about that last week.
Did we?
Yeah.
Okay.
But Helio didn't do anything better. So, I mean, that...
I was confused by that move.
Confused by that move. And if you're telling me that it's because, you know, I know what it is. They want to get the car in the lead of thing, but they had to make... Like, this weekend, he needed to finish in the top 10 to make it worth it. And it's like, why don't you just put him in at Road America? He's raced there 1,000 times in the IMSA cars.
That's the thing. Out of all tracks to...
We talked about this. I didn't think it was... I wasn't really a fan of putting him in the car because I didn't really think he's in it. I think they were trying to think that he was the next McLaughlin. You know,
I was never against him going in.
I just thought there were better picks. And like, if you're going to take the one guy out of the IMSA program and put him in the Indy car on the shank side, it would have been Braun, because he's driven everything.
I know.
So
yeah.
Anyways, all right. That's what we got there. Here's one. Hyundai. They're making noise about going to Formula One.
Okay.
All right.
Well, they're going to have to buy out a team.
All right. Jesus.
Or unless they're coming just as an engine supplier.
No, I think they were talking a team, but I just can't see that.
Whatever.
Just kind of... I think that's really it.
All right.
All right. So shall we go into our... you want to do what?
I got notes about Le Mans. Okay. So they're introducing a power gain component of BOP. So it's basically like a second tier of balance of performance of what they already do with limit or adding or removing weight on the car, adding or removing total energy used.
Okay.
The
all-around effort to tighten the field up.
Yes, okay. I mean that's all BOP is, anyways, to try.
But like last year, it kind of backfired. The Ferraris were definitely quick.
I know. I mean, I still think Toyota's being
coy,
canned really, bad.
Yeah,
because I mean that team should not be that far down, kind of deal. There's other teams that I would expect to be down there. I mean, I get Peugeot's concern with they've brought an updated spec to the car and they're still not performing. However, I think they are pretty much the favored BOP across everything. They're at least getting a favorable break in everything. Anyways, so this power gain component of BOP is to try and tighten the field up with the acceleration and top speed of the cars. So Ferrari has clearly been very fast on the straights.
Mm-hmm.
So I think some of it is going to be trying to limit their top speed a bit. And then acceleration, I want to say Toyota was the quickest car with that, but I mean, of late, I can't really say that all that much. But then they're also trying to look at the acceleration component of that to see how much they can. No one's like having a giant advantage coming out of the corners either. I mean, it, in one sense, like, I get it, but on the other end, now it's like I think you're taking away from the cars a bit, because if the rules were design a car to have these power outputs and that's it, and then just be as efficient as you can and figure it out from there, then I think it's kind of down to the manufacturer to either bring updates to the car or figure out how to make it better with what they have. I mean, after this year and next year, right? Or when does Hypercar and GTP supposed to be?
Next year. Yep.
Okay. So I think some of that is also, once the more races that go on, the more data they're going to have, and then the more they can get all of these numbers in a better spot. But I mean, obviously, as long as the car class doesn't diminish, which it doesn't look like it is, then it'll be okay. But yeah. you mentioned, when does Le Mans start? So their schedule for this year is they're going to start with scrutineering this weekend on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
When's the test day?
The test day is... I'm sorry. The test day is Sunday.
Yeah.
Scrutineering Saturday. I'm sorry. Friday and Saturday.
Is scrutineering. Yeah, they moved it off the next week. Yeah.
While I'm looking at the schedule, there's Sunday is a test day for Hypercar and GT3. There is also the Liège European series.
Are those the GT cars or the prototypes?
Both.
Okay.
They're not the LMP3s, no, but they look similar.
They have their own prototype, and then they have their own GT cars. Pretty cool stuff. Yeah. I've seen it on YouTube.
And their prototype car looks
similar
to what their LMP3 car is. Like that's
what else is this we got?
That's it. So that Liège series goes on Sunday. Monday.
There's nothing until Wednesday.
No. And then, so then we get to Wednesday, and this is where on-track action starts.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking forward to this.
9 a.m.
French.
Kicks off
free. Central European time. That's 3 a.m. here.
Yeah. They kick the day off with free practice one of?
Lamborghinis.
The VW Fun Cup.
Oh, that's right. The Fun Cup is there. I forgot about this. This is killing me.
Yeah, so they kick off with that. Then,
this is the year we were talking about going too.
Yes, yeah. So our recommendation whenever you go to Le Mans is go when the Euro Cup
is going on, because the downtime you get, all you do is you go to a pub, you go to anything in the track and watch the European Soccer Championship. It's awesome. Yeah.
And every local is pretty much in there. Yeah, and again, that's just for, like, if you're tired of walking around or whatever, you can bounce around to any
beer tent there. Yeah. And it's like, you might have Italy versus Sweden in one tent, and it's like insane.
Okay.
The Fun Cups are there. How many are in that? Like 100?
I'll need to find the entry list. I can find that for next week, though. Then after them, there's free practice for the Super Trofeo series.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be awesome, seeing those guys there.
And then after them is the Road to Le Mans series, which is the LMP3.
We saw the first year of.
Oh, was that the first year?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That was cool. That was LMP3 and GT cars, GT3 cars.
Yes.
That was fun.
So, very good. And then later in the day, they kick into...
Free practice one of
WEC.
Is there qualifying on Wednesday? Yes. Late.
There's qualifying practice.
Oh, qualifying practice, yeah.
And then free practice two at night.
I burned the TV out, so I have to reschedule meetings and stuff.
And then... So
Wednesday and Thursday is a disaster for me.
Yes, yeah, so that's... And then Thursday, 9 a.m., VW Fun Cup free practice too.
When is the VW Fun Cup race?
Let me go through. The way they've done this website is a lot of pictures.
Yeah, I know.
Qualifying practice for VW Fun Cup is at noon on Thursday.
It's got to be like Saturday morning.
Thursday at 8. Wow. 8 p.m. is Hyperpole.
Yep.
Jeez. Okay. So maybe qualifying practice is qualifying. Friday, 9 a.m. This is Friday the 14th, so we got another week until this race, but we like the...
There's racing on Friday?
We like this hype. Well, 9 a.m. on Friday is the VW Fun Cup.
That's on Friday?
On Friday.
Does it say how long that race is?
No, I would imagine an hour, maybe. Because there's... I think that's the only thing they have that day. Oh, I'm sorry. Track opens to the public at 3. So the race can't be longer than 6 hours. Jesus. And then when they kick off, there will be... Oh, no, I do know how long it is. Ooh, shit. Went too far. That VW Fun Cup looks like it's going to be 4 hours long.
Ooh.
Oh. So, yeah.
That's on Friday?
That's on Friday.
Oh, I am going to be watching that.
I'll have to find a stream for that. We'll need to watch that one.
Yep, well, I'm going to watch that because that is going to be fantastico.
I guess right before we get into our picks for F1 and IndyCar, weather for...
Canada? Wet.
Looks wet.
Yep.
Chances getting lower as the day goes on, but could be interesting. Qualifying will definitely be more of a toss-up.
Yeah.
Friday looks like a toss-up too, so who knows if we even get practice. Mm-hmm. Road America, on the other hand, looks clear as day. It'll be cool, but clear. So that's that. All right, picks.
All right. How did our... what are we doing first?
You got them in. We can do IndyCar. All
right.
Hey, Road America.
I'm going to go Pelot.
Pelot?
Yep.
All right. And your dark horse?
My dark horse is going to be...
Dixon is off. Off limits.
Not going to touch him. Graham Rahal.
All right. I've gone with Rossi to win.
I like that.
And my dark horse is going to be Grosjean.
Oh, even better. Like that.
Nate has picked Newgarden to win.
Ugh.
Hey, look. It's his picks. And dark horse is Rosenquist.
Okay. Like that.
So.
All right. F1?
F1.
Canada?
Yes.
I am going to go Max bounces back.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to go Carlos. And then I'm going to go Fred.
All right.
My dark horse, Danny Ric.
All righty. I'm going to go with Max as well to win. Second, I'm going to have Leclerc. Third, I'm going to go with Piastri.
Ah.
And dark horse, Bottas.
Okay.
Nate has gone with Piastri to win. Gets his actual first
yep,
win.
Yep, I like that.
Second, Max. Third, Sainz. And his dark horse is Albon. Which, that's...
I don't see that car working on that track.
But last year,
yeah,
he was able to defend with the strengths of the car on the straights. Get points. So it...
If we were at Monza, I'd say definitely.
Well, and I think last year a yellow fell their way to get position.
Yeah.
Or however they did the gotcha. Strategy, they got ahead on track, and then he was able to just back them up.
Okay.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting.
All right. And on that note,
good night. Thank you guys for listening to the Redness Podcast, hosted by Christian Abbott, Sean Abbott, and Nathan Lavin. It's produced by Christian Abbott, and music is by Alex Wart and Harrison Tate.